Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Hey, you know, some of my most cherished childhood memories are the photos I have from the holidays while growing up on the mean streets of McLean. Those pictures are everything. But here's the problem. In today's world, all of your family photos are trapped in your cell phone. Your mom would love to see those pictures of the grandkids, but when was the last time you actually shared them beyond a quick text? That's where Aura Frames comes in, and this is the perfect gift solution. You get the frame for mom or grandma, then you can flip those digital assets over to them all year long. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and you can add photos from anywhere, anytime. It's just one gift at the holidays, but you look like a hero 365 days a year. Unlimited photos and videos. Share effortlessly straight from your phone. The frame arrives preloaded in a premium gift box with no price tag. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, mentioned by Wirecutter, by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code ZABE. The exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is the best of the year. So order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout.
Terms and conditions apply.
You know football and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie. This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Monday, November 24, 2025. Thank you for downloading. You and me today, I am going to try to make up for an egregious mistake on Friday's subscriber ZABEcast. You pay good money, $5 a month, to get the best quality possible. And what did I do? In You Are Looking Live, I only forgot about a game, and a pretty big one at that, the Colts and the Chiefs. Chiefs today getting a big win as I tape this on a Sunday night in overtime against a Colts team that just puddled up at the end in their own PP because they could not close the game out. We're going to get to all the games today. You know, I always wrestle with, okay, Mondays, who should I have on for a guest? What should I talk about? What order should I talk about things? I actually thought about recording the podcast at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning to be able to say, all right, I'm done. I'm just going to sit here and watch football all day and enjoy my Sunday. And you know what? It would have been a good podcast, but it would not have had all the NFL stuff that I think you people want and deserve and like on a Monday. And then I wrestle with, okay, let me get somebody on with me who watched the games today, and they can go back and forth with me. And I've realized that, and this is no knock on any of my buddies, any of my friends, any of my satellite colleagues of sorts, I'm the only one, as I hold up my notes for you, I'm the only one that's going to grind away on reading every recap and looking at all the games to really know what the hell went on. And we still, there's Easter eggs and little nuggets are going to fall out over the course of the next couple of days. But I'm like, why don't I just do the rundown? And then tomorrow we'll have Andy on. Big week on a short, compressed week. I'm doing 4 podcasts this week. Technically, I am only owed 2. I might do 5, actually, come to think of it. I will have on today or tomorrow. Tomorrow's got a power lunch at the Palm in Tyson's Corner. Andy Pollin with Marty Conway, the professor. You guys have been asking for Marty Conway. You're going to get Marty Conway good and hard. Okay, you're going to get him good and thorough tomorrow at lunch at the Palm. We're going to talk about a lot of things with him. And then on Tuesday, no, that would be Tuesday's pod. Wednesday's pod will be Charge. And then Thursday's pod will be Scott and Sally again with the You Are Looking Live for the 3 games on Thanksgiving plus the weekend ahead in the NFL. And I promise not to miss any games. And if I do, then next month's subscription to the Zabecast Premium is absolutely free. I wouldn't do that. You're out of work. You need all the money you can get. Okay. Well, then maybe I will give you something else. How about I just really, really make sure not to do it again? Without further ado, let's get to week number 12 in the National Football League. It was a dog day afternoon. The Dogs went 9-1-1, and there were 3 overtimes and a 21-point rally by the Cowboys to stun the Eagles, tying their largest comeback in franchise history. But let's start in Kansas City, where the Chiefs beat the Colts 23-20 in overtime to improve to 6-5. The death of the Chiefs is greatly exaggerated, even though they looked like they were dead for much of the game. They were 11 down going into the fourth quarter, down 20-9. And then the Colts went 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 4 times in a row. Jonathan Taylor was kept in check, 16 carries for 58 yards, and Patrick Mahomes made the plays when they needed them the most, 352 yards. It led to Harrison Butker's game-winning field goal in overtime. He had 5 on the day. Kareem Hunt had a big day, 30 for a buck 4, and Rashee Rice, 8 for 141 for Kansas City. The Colts let a big one slip through their fingers. They fall to 8-3. They host Houston this week. The Chiefs are at Dallas on Christmas Day. Final line was 3.5. The hook was the crook in this one. Win goes to the underdog, the Colts, plus the 3.5 in overtime. In Cincinnati, the Patriots beat the Bengals 26-20 after they started very slow and rallied from 10 down, and after losing their entire left side of their offensive line, including their outstanding rookie at left tackle. He could be done for the year. Drake May still had 294 yards and a touchdown, had a really bad pick early on, but redeemed himself there. Marcus Jones had a pick 6 off of Joe Flacco. That was just absurd. Flacco was like, here, you want the ball? Have it. Touchdown. And now the Patriots at 10-2, first 10-win team in the NFL this year. They have a 2.5 game lead on Buffalo. As the saying goes, it's getting late early in the AFC East. Cincinnati did get a Evan McPherson 63-yard field goal in this game. Did you know that's the 7th 60-plus yard field goal of the year? And we're not done with the season yet. Brandon Aubrey has 2 of them from 60-plus. Hell, Will Reichert for the Vikings, the only positive sliver of light for the Vikings, we'll get to them in a second, was Will Reichert hitting a 59-yarder into the wind at Lambeau Field. In fact, he's got 4 59-yarders this year or longer that's never been done in NFL history. Don't tell me that the K-ball rule change of letting the trainers and the equipment guys work on the K-balls well in advance. Do not tell me that is not making a difference. The jump up in long-distance field goals this year has been dramatic, and it's undeniable. Patriots 10-2. They host the Giants next week. Bengals 3-8, and they are at Baltimore. Joe Burrow may be ready to play. It's one of those things where you go, okay, but why? Like, seriously. Well, you know, it's football. You can hurt your toe anytime. You can stub your toe on a bed frame. Yeah, well, do you really want Joe Burrow running around at 3-8 with a bad 50%, 70% turf toe injury? I wouldn't. But football has this tough guy ethos that sort of rules the day. The dog wins this in this one against the spread. 7.5 was your closing number. Patriots minus the 7.5, especially after Burrow was ruled out. And the winner is the underdog plus the 7.5, 6-point spread. The Packers folded, crumbled, and mutilated the Minnesota Vikings 23-6 in a game that was not even that close, because Matt LaFleur had no problem, even without Josh Jacobs, running the ball, running it some more, giving it to Emmanuel Wilson, their backup, who had 170 yards, his first 100-yard game as a pro, 2 touchdowns as well. I mean, they ran it 7 straight times late in the game when they had the ball in plus territory after a turnover and then kicked a field goal. It was the ultimate conservative play calling by LaFleur, but look, it made the game go real short. It ended in 2 hours and 44 minutes. Saved up as much oomph on the Packers before their game against the Lions on Thanksgiving Day at noon. Probably not a bad strategy, even though it was quite frustrating. The Vikings have a real problem with J.J. McCarthy because he is absolutely non-functional at this point. Like, non-functional at all. 12 for 19, 87 yards. No touchdowns, 2 INTs. He got sacked 5 times as well. And at least half of those sacks were absolutely on him, not on the O-line. Christian Darrisaw did leave the game with an injury. He was still no match for Micah Parsons, who had 2 sacks. He's now got 10 on the year. After the game, Parsons said, look, I used to say with CeeDee Lamb in Dallas, 10 is the minimum. 10 is the minimum. Like CeeDee would say, well, 1,000 yards is the minimum for me. 10 sacks, the minimum for Micah Parsons. He has been worth every penny for that Packers defense, who once again rose up. And they've only had one really bad game, the Packers D. That was against the Cowboys in that tie earlier in the year. But, yeah, the Vikings, they've got to bench J.J. McCarthy. He's just not ready at this point. He may never be ready. And when you compare him to the MILF hunter in New York, Zach Wilson had better numbers, looked better, looked more vibrant than McCarthy does. And they wanted to run him out of town on a rail after 5 or 6 starts. It's not going good for McCarthy and the Vikings, whose season is effectively over. They fall to 4-7. They're at Seattle next week. Packers are 7-3-1. Quietly, the Packers, they're right there. The defense is top 5. And if they would throw the ball, they get a couple receivers back. Jaden Reed could be coming back in a couple of weeks. Golden could be coming back. They get a couple guys back, maybe. You'd think if they would throw the ball, the Packers could be dangerous. But they're 7-3-1, 3 losses by 3 points each, and a tie against the Cowboys that should never have been. Spread was 6.5. Packers covered it easily, so there's your one win by the favorite this weekend. At Detroit for the Packers on Thanksgiving Day, the Vikings are at the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, that's right. Who do they used to have at quarterback that went to Seattle, who's having a great season? Sorry, Viking fans, that's going to be some salt in the wound right there. The Lions beat the Giants in overtime, 34-27, in a game that's got a lot to talk about when it comes to strategy. The Lions were sleepwalking through this game, and the Giants with Jameis Winston, they were pulling out all the stops. I guess give credit to interim coach Mike Kafka, who called all these crazy plays
including a quarterback throwback. So handoff, run around the right side, lob it back to Winston. Winston throws it down for a touchdown. And that was the warm-up, because Winston then went out for a pass, caught it. It was a back shoulder pass. He then shrugged off a linebacker at the five, broke a leg tackle, and hopped into the end zone for a touchdown. He also made a huge play late on, I think, a fourth and long or third and 17, something like that. The Lions should have rightfully lost this game, but it was Sonic to the rescue. Jahmyr Gibbs, a.k.a. Sonic, of their Sonic and Knuckles combo with him and Montgomery was sensational. A 69-yard touchdown on the first play of overtime. He also had another long one earlier in the game that was even more spectacular. 264 yards from scrimmage from Jahmyr Gibbs. And that was pretty much it. In overtime, Jake Bates wins the game, but the game-tying field goal, actually, he doesn't win the game in overtime. It was a touchdown. It was the Gibbs touchdown that won it. But the Jake Bates field goal from 59 to tie it, there's an angle that you got to see, a low angle from behind that shows the ball slicing right and then in midair hooking back in for the game winner. The Lions improved to 7-4, but there's a lot of people saying, you know what? Hey, Dan Campbell, give the play sheet back to your OC. You worry about running the whole game because there's too many things being missed. The operation of the entire effort is not what it should be. Your play calling is not special. It looked great against the Commanders' defense. That doesn't mean anything. Give the play sheet back. Now, let's talk about the strategic decision. Giants have the ball, fourth and goal from the six, up three with just under 3 minutes to go. They decide to go for it on fourth and goal, and the pass was incomplete, so it left it a three-point game. Afterwards, Kafka was asked, so why did you do that? And he said, well, we always want to score the most points we can on any given Sunday. Okay, thanks, tough guy. He said, we thought that was a place to be aggressive. Now, the numbers nerds and the analytics boys will tell you it was the right call. They've run the numbers. They say that going up six with over a minute to go is a great way to lose by one. I'm not so sure about that. I think there's real value in saying to beat us, you're going to have to go the length of the field. Now, I know I've also said over the years, if only a touchdown can beat you, then it is a touchdown that shall beat you. That's more because D coordinators like to play really soft defense. And so when a team is trailing by six late, they get from their own 20 to the 50 in a blink of an eye because it's so soft, the coverage. If you just played normal defense the way you've been playing all game, I like your chances there. But either way, Malik Nabers, who hasn't played now in, what, 5 weeks because of his blown-out knee, decided, here's a good idea. Let's go to social media and rip our coaches on their decision-making. Here was what Neighbors tweeted. Sometimes I think they be making us lose on purpose. It might be. Because it's no way, bro, you throw the ball instead of running it to make them burn two timeouts. Then you don't kick the field goal. Then they have to go down and score. Football, common sense, all exclamation points. Am I missing something? Yeah, he quickly deleted the post. You're missing the point of you're still a member of the team, and even though your head coach has been fired, there's other coaches who may remain, and they may be cowards, but they're not idiots. They've thought about this decision just a bit. Plus, you're in street clothes, so nobody needs to hear from you, but well, Neighbors deleted the tweet shortly after that. The Lions are 7-4. They host the Packers at 1 o'clock on Thanksgiving. The Giants are 2-10. They're at New England. That takes us to Chicago, where the Bears run their record to 8-3 by beating the Steelers 31-28. And the bad man can't hurt you today, Bear fans. The bad man that is Aaron Rodgers didn't play in this game, tried to go, too much pain, went around in warm-ups, kind of gave it a half-hearted effort, and they said he's not ready to go with that broken bone in his left hand. And so, therefore, it was Denthead time. Mason Rudolph, a.k.a. Denthead. Thanks a lot, Miles Garrett. He wasn't terrible in the game. He was not awful, as my boy Charch would call him. Nobody's going to mistake Mason Rudolph as a QB1 or the answer to anything, but he didn't totally suck. Caleb Williams had some moments, three touchdown passes in this game, even though he was only barely over 50%. He was 19 to 35, and he gave up a free touchdown in the end zone by getting sacked by TJ Watt, and then, I don't know, not protecting the ball, just like extending his right arm out as it was being pinned in the sack, and he just let the ball go. And the Steelers jumped on it, and they scored a touchdown, like completely losing football right there from Caleb Williams. But look, he's moved the needle. He's better than he was last year, and the Bears are 8-3 for the first time since 2018. And I know what you're going to say. Zabe, I thought you had an ironclad rule about since stats, 10 years. All right, give me a break. That's seven. I just wanted to give you some perspective. The Bears are 8-3 atop the division for the first time since 2018. The spread was Bears -3. That's a push right there. Also, the Lions spread ballooned. I forgot to mention this, from 10 when they thought that it was going to be Jackson Dart starting to 13.5. It didn't matter because the Giants covered that one easily as the underdog, getting a ton of points in overtime. Then we go to Baltimore. The Ravens beat the Jets 23-10 in a game in which the Ravens were sleepwalking themselves through the first half. The Jets led 7-3 at the break. It was their first halftime lead since week one. But then they started to figure some things out. Derrick Henry had two third-quarter touchdowns. He wasn't great on this day, 21 for 64 yards. Lamar was not great, 13 for 23 and only a buck 53. Didn't run as much as he normally would. He's got knee problems. He's got ankle problems. But the Ravens have now won five straight. They were 1-5. They're now 6-5. Jets fall to 2-9. The Ravens host Cincinnati. The Jets host Atlanta. Let me go back to the Bears-Steelers game. The Bears are at Philly this week, this Sunday. That's going to be a good one. And the Steelers are hosting Buffalo. So it's going to be truth-telling time for both Pittsburgh and Buffalo in this game because they're both a little bit further back in the mix in the playoff hunt as that goes. The Seahawks crushed the Titans. No, they didn't crush them, but they beat them by 6. 30-24, your final score. The spread was 12.5, so another underdog win here. Seahawks improved to 8-3. They pretty much jumped out early, easily, and then cruised to the win. They allowed a backdoor touchdown for the cover. That's how gambling works, kids. Sam Darnold, two touchdowns, including a nice 61-yarder to Jackson Smith in Jigba. In Jigba. In Jigba. See how I said that? That's how you pronounce his last name. Or you can just call him JSN. Terry Bradshaw doing highlights on Fox, and he has done them for years, and he's not getting any better. Usually a bumbling train wreck on the highlights, called him something other than Jackson Smith in Jigba. And I won't even say it here because he said it, and then Michael Strahan reacted as if Terry was manhandling a live cobra with his career and maybe all of their jobs. And then Terry went back and said it again. Like, oh yeah, did I call him that? Okay, yeah. It's like, no, bah, not boo. What are you doing, Terry, you moron? Cam Ward was sacked four times in this game for the Titans. He has been sacked more than any quarterback in the NFL this year. But they did score 24 points, the Jags did. That is a season high for them. Maybe they got to go to Shakey's afterwards for pizzas and sodas despite the loss. Titans are 1-10. Seahawks are 8-3. Seahawks, like I said, hosting Minnesota. The Titans are hosting the Jaguars. Shedeur Sanders did what few quarterbacks in Browns history have done, which is to win their first start as signal caller. I forget who was the last guy to win his first start for the Browns. I saw it. The name will come to me. I'm thinking right now. But it's been a while. I think it was back to 99. Browns beat the dysfunctional Raiders 24-10, your final score, as Shedeur was okay at times. Showed some intriguing stuff at times. His numbers, 11 of 20, 209 yards, one touchdown, one pick. The one touchdown was a 66-yard strike to rookie Dylan Sampson, the running back out of Tennessee, who has jets. And it was pretty sweet. But, you know, screen passes that go 60 for a score count because there are sometimes long passes for easy touchdowns that are dropped. It tends to even out over time. Shador is obviously, he's got tools. He's big and rangy. He's got a good arm, big arm, super accurate, no. They also rolled him out more in this game. You know, this was the kind of game where you could take from it what you want if you're either a Shador Sanders lover or if you are secretly hating against him or wanting him to fail. He did mention, oh, there's a lot of people that want me to fail. Okay. You taking a poll on that? I mean, there's some people maybe. Is it a lot? Is it a majority? I don't know. But I would say if you're the Browns, you definitely want to have him as your starter the rest of the way. Dylan Gabriel, Shrimpy McRunaround. This kid, he is not a pro quarterback. Shador might be, we'll see, but he showed some flashes of it in the win. The other story is the Raiders are a complete joke. They're one of the worst teams ever. And the dumbest play of the day, by far, was Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy catches this long pass, starts turning upfield. He's got a decision to make about 40 yards downfield. Does he cut to the boundary and try to get as much yards as he can before being forced out? Or does he try to cut it back up against the grain, maybe make one big hard cut back and try to swim to ocean water, to open water, and go for a touchdown? What does he do instead? He slows down, does some sort of a skip, like he skips into the air, has no awareness that there's a defender coming up behind him, and because he has slowed down and decided to inadvertently hit the X button like your mom playing a video game. What did I just do? Why did my character jump? No, mom, don't hit the X button. A Browns defender came from behind and boom, punched the ball out of his hands for a turnover. Moron play. Geno Smith was sacked 10 times in this game. Three of those by Myles Garrett. More on that coming up in just a second. The Browns are 3-8. The Raiders are 2-9. Browns host the Niners this week, and then the Raiders are at the Chargers. This one was Raiders by 3, so another underdog win as the Browns take the game outright. The Jaguars nipped the Cardinals in overtime 27-24 as they improved to 7-4. Trevor Lawrence, a lot of picks. Three picks on the day, but he also had three touchdowns. Jags had four turnovers overall, but still overcame that. Lawrence 18-30 on the game. Jacoby Brissett in the loss threw 49 times. This guy's arm is going to absolutely melt into a puddle by the time the season is over. 317 yards for Brissett in the loss. He did have a touchdown in this one. As the Jaguars improved to 7-4, they host Tennessee. They're at Tennessee next week. And then the Cardinals are at Tampa Bay. The underdog won because it was, or no, the favorite one, it was the Jaguars -2.5. In this one, they won by 3. Must be nice. The Falcons beat the Saints 24-10. Kirk O'Chains rides again. Kirk Cousins, 199 yards, two touchdowns, and an INT. The INT wasn't his fault, not to be a Kirk jerk or an apologist, but I did see it. Kirk Cousins now has tied Johnny Unitas, I believe, for the most wins as a quarterback in NFL history. And Charge joked, yeah, in the same, he tied Johnny Unitas in terms of career earnings as well. Not even close. Kirk has earned way above what his career should have garnered him, but still pretty impressive. The Saints had two turnovers, five sacks. Tyler Shuck threw it a lot. There was not a lot of rushing for the Saints, who fall to 2-9. They're at Miami next week. The Falcons are 4-7, and they're at the Jets. Finally, the Cowboys beat the Eagles 24-21. On a walk-off Brandon Aubrey 42-yard field goal. This game was wild because the Eagles were up 21-0 and cruising. They had like 183 yards of total offense their first three drives.
Their next eight drives, the Eagles had 109 yards total. This collapse by Philly, which may well end up costing them the number one seed, depending on how the rest of the NFC goes, is going to be absolute red meat fodder on Philly radio tomorrow morning, or this morning as you listen to this podcast. Give credit to Elijah Clark, who's a rookie, on the special teams unit on one of the key plays of the game. Even though they didn't score after this key play, he gets ragdolled once, like literally rolled over, being the gunner on the punt team for the Cowboys, gets up, the Eagles defender or Eagles player who is blocking him hits him again, almost knocks him to the ground, but Clark stays on his feet, pursues, and then right at the right moment blasts Xavier Gibson to knock the ball loose and the Cowboys recover. In fact, their long snapper recovered the fumble. So that was a great hustle play by everyone involved. The long snapper, like, what are you doing down here, bro? Didn't you just snap it on? Yeah. Well, once I was done snapping, I didn't have anything to do. I figured I'd run on down here, see what could happen. See if I can make a tackle. See if I can help out. See if there's, loose football I can jump on. But why was Gibson fielding it at the one? That's another thing that drives you crazy as a fan. You're like, just let it go, dude. And then he fumbled. George Pickens was a dog in this game. 9 catches, 140, and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb dropped a touchdown pass that was in his breadbasket and then complained to Dak Prescott visibly, hey, I want the ball over here. I want it higher and further away from the defender. Bro, you just dropped it. Stone cold drop. What are you talking about? It tied the largest franchise comeback in Cowboys history. And Brandon Aubrey, I thought, was going to have a chance at like a 68-yarder to win the game if they didn't get any more yards. Didn't happen. They got another big pass to Pickens, and away they went. On the fumble recovery, which set them up first and goal. Okay, so here you go. It's like first and goal at the 6, right, for the Cowboys after they forced the fumble on the punt. Run the ball down to the 1. Great. Pass, and turnover on downs. I also would have kicked the field goal there. As overkill as it seems to be using a bazooka on a fly, which is Brandon Aubrey on a 21-yard field goal, take the points. Go up 3. They did get a big sack of Jalen Hurts, the only sack he had all game long. When they were driving, the Eagles were to possibly tie the game or go ahead and win. Cowboys were a 3-point underdog in this game, and they covered by winning outright, 24-21, your final. And so there you go. That is all that I've got as the Rams and the Buccaneers are going on right now. I'm not going to give you a score update. By the time you hear this podcast, the game will be over. Thanksgiving, triple header. My youngest daughter, Megan, not a big sports fan. I know, that's on me. Could have done better. Maybe it would have never worked. Maybe she was just destined to be like, oh God, my dad with all the sports. I'm going to do something else. She says, because we're watching, or we're having dinner down in the home theater, in the 5-hour energy dome on the back sort of counter area, which is, I like it as a family. It's nice, you know, because we can have dinner. We're with each other as a family. But watching these games leads to some interesting conversational exchanges, such as my youngest daughter, Megan, saying, so is there a game on Thanksgiving? I said, nah. Only 3 of them. She was like, 3? Yeah, seems like a lot. And I go, well, there used to just be 1. And then they added the Lions every year. And then they added, well, actually, it might have been the Lions first, then the Cowboys. Don't make me quote the history of Thursday games on Thanksgiving and why. But I said, yeah, and then they added a 3rd one at night because, well, what else are you going to do? You're there cooped up with family and, you know, cooped up with family, got nothing else to do. Let's go ahead and have another brandy and watch a 3rd professional tackle football game. So your Thanksgiving lineup is Green Bay, Detroit on Fox, 1 o'clock game. They used to start at 12:30, as I recalled it. Kansas City at Dallas, your 4:30 game on CBS. That is going to be a full-on Romo-gasm. Have you noticed as well more people starting to really dig in on Tony Romo's inadequacy as an analyst?
I just keep hearing that Brent Musburger quote ringing in my ear. Tony, listen to me. You know, this trick is not going to last, you calling out plays before they happen. Brent was right when he said that many years ago, before Romo got that insane contract, which is looking more and more like an albatross all the time. And then Cincinnati-Baltimore, your night game on NBC. It could involve Joe Burrow. Who knows? But that's three football games on Thursday night. Now let's get to some of the nuggets from the games. Here we go. Nugget number one. In the last 30 seasons, according to Kevin Seifert on ESPN, there have only been two Viking quarterbacks who have thrown two interceptions in 1, 2, 3 consecutive games, which is what J.J. McCarthy has done. Those two guys are McCarthy and Christian Ponder. Yikes. Not the company you want to keep.
You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. The holidays are here, and if you've got names on your list that are impossible to buy for, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free.
free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. I found something perfect for any football fan in your life, the New York Times Custom Football Book. You pick your favorite NFL team and they create a custom book with actual front page coverage from the Times going all the way back to that team's early years. We're talking historic games, championships, legendary moments, over 90 pages of real newspaper history. Talk about a gift that will blow them away. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make, they give $1 back to nonprofit partners of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Someone commented today about in-game game breaks, that they are seemingly fewer and fewer now when it comes to network, you know, telecasts of NFL games. Where they go, all right, let's take you here. Look at the look what just happened in this game, right? And I get why, because we all have phones. We have YouTube TV and multiple screens and split screens and everything else. Do we really need game breaks? I still like them. But how much sizzle, how much razz, Mataz, do you want from your in-game highlights? This year, CBS has given a big opportunity to a guy who just started as a radio schlub like me, Adam Schein. Adam Schein, Sirius XM Radio. Great show, great life. I'm Adam Schein. Never met Adam. I don't dislike necessarily his style. It's not for me per se. But I appreciate the fact that we all have to have a certain shtick in this business. Here's Adam Schein's halftime, or not halftime, but his in-game highlight breaks. Do you like them or not?
Update time. Adam Schein in New York.
Jim, Tony, take a look at this. Mike Kafka in his bag. Next level trickeration. This is Gunnar Olszewski throwing to Jameis Winston. Look at those moves. Are you kidding me? The Giants lead Detroit by 10. Back to you.
Okay, I don't hate it. Look, he's excited. He's giving you some sizzle. It's not like your typical, normal, kind of dry update. Is he trying too hard? Maybe. Who knows? Seth Walder of ESPN NFL Analyst says, kicking to go up six is a great way to give opponents better field position and lose by one. Our go-for-it model strongly agreed with Coach Kafka's decision to go for a touchdown late against the Lions. Purportedly, the recommendation was a plus 7.1% win probability boost. Going for it would have led to, oh, hi, an 86.5% chance of winning, whereas going for a field goal would have only given you a 79.4% chance. We've modeled this over 10,000 simulations. Okay, well, still. Ben Standing, who covers the Commanders for The Athletic, says, Jameis Winston has as many receiving touchdowns as Terry McLaurin this year. Just saying. Packers have a tough road. The final six games are at the Lions, home against the Bears, at the Broncos, home against the Bears. Did I say at the Bears? They're at the Bears. Home Bears, at Broncos, at Bears, then home Ravens and at Vikings. At Vikings, the only soft spot left on the schedule. Combined record for the Pack, 42-24 remaining, with three division leaders to deal with in that span. Well, two, the Bears and – no, three, I guess, because that counts the Ravens. Either way, it's a tough finish for sure. I mentioned Myles Garrett and his three sacks. He's got 13 sacks now in the last four games. 13 in four games. He's got 18 on the season. Do you know what the record for sacks in a season is? It doesn't matter because he's going to break it unless something really bad happens. Reggie White, 22 and a half is the single season record by Strahan, with the last sack, of course, being very controversial, the Favre laydown. But the most sacks by a player in their first 11 games of the season since it became an official stat in 1982. Reggie White had 19 through 11 games in 87. Garrett has 18 now. Mark Gastineau, part of the New York Sack Exchange, had 17 and a half in 1984. Garrett now has six more games to get a mere five sacks. I would say don't bet the under on that one. Here was the charge tweet about Cousins. Cousins ties Johnny Unitas with 290 touchdowns. Not wins, touchdowns. 290 touchdowns, that's 17th all-time in NFL history. His career earnings are the same, too. Ha ha, LOL. I would love to know what Johnny Unitas made from the NFL in his career. Not what Johnny Unitas made as a football legend off the field, although he was really, he was still too early to really capitalize on the explosion of off-field marketing opportunities for players. But I would bet Johnny Unitas didn't make $500,000 in his entire career in the NFL. How would one source that? Maybe I need a good intern. More bad numbers on J.J. McCarthy. Since 2010, the only three first-round quarterbacks have had a passer rating under 65 in their first six starts. McCarthy, the lowest at 57.9. Number two is Blaine Gabbert, 60.3. And number three is Zach Wilson at 63.5. They've got to shut him down this week. They got to do what they did in Carolina with Bryce Young, which probably saved his career. They had to say, you know what? Okay, we're going to put you over to the side here. Game's moving too fast for you. It's too much going on. We're not going to keep sending you out there to get killed. Speaking of tough schedules, the Colts have all four games remaining left against both the Jaguars and the Texans, the two good teams in their division, and that Texans defense is nasty. So the Colts, even though they're 8-3, most of their heavy lifting is going to come now between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Shedeur Sanders is a confident guy, of course. Here's what he had to say before the game to Tiffany Blackman on CBS.
Shedeur, you told us that this week felt like you were getting back to normal, being a starting quarterback, like you have your whole career. But this is going to be your first NFL start. What does that opportunity feel like in this moment?
Feels good, but we cool, calm, collective, like, this ain't nothing to us.
And what do you hope to show against this Raiders defense, your teammates, yourself, and these Browns fans with your play today?
I'm who they've been looking for. Appreciate it.
Okay, I'm who they've been looking for. Listen, Shedeur's marketing instincts are hashtag elite, much like his father. Doesn't mean he's going to have a good long NFL career, but in terms of knowing how to feed the beast, the media beast, the hype beast, he's really, really good. People are saying they should definitely fire Pete Carroll in Vegas. Probably not a great idea to hire him in the first place, but then again, you got Mark Davis who walks around with that haircut thinking that haircut is a good idea, thinking the haircut makes his lizard-like appearance somehow in any way better. Do you think he's capable of making a good decision when hiring a coach? The best coach they had, John Gruden, and they fired him because, the controversy. Oh, the firestorm. If he could have just stood firm and said, yeah, this too shall pass. Gruden will apologize for his language that appeared in those emails. He will do whatever it takes to make amends to the black players on the team that may or may not be offended by what he said. And we're not going to change a damn thing. Could have done that. Instead, well, they got Pete Carroll, who looks like he is well past his expiration date. Still a very spry-looking 72-year-old guy, I believe. Much better than Belichick at that age. But here's your last 20 years for Raider fans. Art Shell, 2-14. Lane Kiffin, 5-15. Tom Cable, 17-27. Hugh Jackson, 8-8. And they fired him. Fire the black man. Dennis Allen, 8-28. Who gives that many games to a guy who goes 8-28? Tony Sparano, 3-9. Jack Del Rio, 25-23. John Gruden, 22-31. Rich Bisaccia, 7-5. Josh McDaniels, 9-16. Antonio Pierce, 9-17. And now Pete Carroll, 2-9. The Raiders have had 14 quarterbacks in that span and zero playoff wins. Of course, you could fire Pete Carroll tomorrow. He's definitely not getting another. He's not going to go get another job like James Franklin did to give you offset money. He's going to retire at his age. And for what it's worth, notes Albert Breer, interim coaches so far this year are now 0-7. So if you think firing the coach is going to lead to wins, yeah, nah. Also, this tweet wins the day. Raider Posts has a picture of Geno Smith in the preseason against Seattle, in which a fan for Seattle held up a sign saying, Geno, bigger bust, Geno or Jamarcus Russell. Geno Smith saw the sign and flipped off the fan, and there's a great photo of it. Raider Post said, we owe this guy an apology. Indeed. All right, there is week number 12 for you in the NFL. I hope I gave you some good value, and my research was worth it, because I spent a good hour or so writing down all these notes. I tried to deliver it as smoothly as possible, but, you know, sometimes it's a little bit herky-jerky. Coming up, I will end the podcast on this. It's a simple question with a complicated answer. How you doing? That's next. Let's end on this. Since the sudden and shocking disintegration of 97.3 The Game, the station I was at in Milwaukee back in early October, a lot of you have kept coming, you know, to me. Some of you are laying back in the weeds. You're like, I'm going to wait a little while, and I'm going to come to Zabe and tell him how much I miss him and ask the simple question of how you doing. People want to know how you doing. They want to know out of concern for me. And in general, I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. Been in this business long enough that while this was certainly a shock, it has not rendered me a twitching puddle of tears and a psychological mess. I'm fine. I'm enjoying the sleeping in. I'm enjoying being able to put more oomph and shoulder and elbow into this podcast. I'm working part-time for WJFK 106.7 in D.C. And I'm spending time with my family, and I'm looking forward to a great holiday in which I'm thankful for just the most simple things in life, the things that you should never take for granted: your health, the roof over your head, family who loves you, a few bucks in the bank account. It's all good. But I will admit, the days are different. Every day is kind of different. There is, it's like a random deal a deck. Different cards come out emotionally for me every day. And there's things that trigger different emotions, both positive and negative. For example, this weekend I was actually finally unboxing a bunch of stuff that had been hastily put together and boxed up as I left the apartment in Milwaukee. And as I was unboxing things, I realized, damn, I put so much. I think I underestimate how much I put into the show and the station and the events that we did. And I'm just sort of realizing it as I'm unpacking things. I unpacked another on-air light that I ordered from Amazon because I wanted it to be a nice little visual accessory for our setups at Sunburn Bowl. I didn't want Sunburn Bowl to look cheesy or half-assed. So in addition to spending $267 on almost real-life Rydell helmets that I got custom stickers for with Sunburn Bowl and the 97.3 The Game logo, and they looked sick, by the way, to serve as Sunburn Bowl sort of display pieces. But I also bought things like little on-air lights. And so I unpacked the second one. I'm like, oh, geez. I don't even really need one of these because nobody is walking in like a real radio studio. But now I got two. And I kind of laughed. And I thought about, yeah. And a lot of the cables and cords and extra monitors I had bought and stands, I had bought for our Sunburn Bowl week. And I remember going through this stuff with Josh at the time and like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. And so I think I at times underestimate how much I put into it. So the fact that it is completely gone, vaporized like the planet Alderaan, has been wild at times to feel the emotions of, it's so over. There is no remedy. And I feel bad for everyone I worked with there, many of whom are still working, even though the station doesn't exist in Milwaukee. They're only online. And that is probably going to come to an end at the start of the new year. It also hit me that Pipe Bomb, one of our just sort of our grinder board ops at the station and producer, put out a video saying, you know, today's my last day at iHeart. And I was like, damn. I made sure to, you know, reply to him on Twitter saying, Pipe Bomb, you are and were an unsinkable absolute go-to guy running the board, producing shows. He never complained about some insane shifts, sometimes spanning all day long, and was so easygoing, such a funny character, a guy that loves speed and death metal, knew a lot more about sports than I think people would give him credit for. I know that I underestimated him at first just because of his looks. I'm like, what is this metalhead who has to go outside for a smoke break every, you know, half hour? What does he know about sports? You'd be surprised. So when he said that, yeah, I'm out too, I'm like, damn. So the days are different. It's been wild at times, and I swing from different moods. But overall, I'm just fine, and I thank everyone for reaching out and asking. Because it's tough when, you know, your corporate overlords look in and go, yeah. And then just crumple the whole thing up like a sheet of paper. It's a business, right? They made a business decision. But life changes. Getting that apartment in downtown Milwaukee, I really loved being there for the times and weekends that I was there and weeks that I was there, watching the snowfall in the winter over Cathedral Square. It's a beautiful time of year downtown Milwaukee right now. I enjoyed the glorious summer days by the lake, being able to take a walk down there by the lake. The walking to Summerfest was great. All that stuff. And I look at the photos of the things that we did as a station and all the people involved. And at times I'm like, was it just a giant Ponzi scheme? Were we losing that much money the whole time? I mean, there had to be some value in what we were doing, right? And so, yeah. And I know deep down I'll be fine and new things are coming for me, but it doesn't mean I won't always grieve a little bit for what died so suddenly. And I've got those alternating feelings of anger, blame, regret, second-guessing, unbridled optimism about, ooh, I could do this now. And it just changes day by day. Very thankful to get some reps at 106.7. Everyone there has been incredibly respectful to me, too much so, calling me a, quote, legend. DC sports radio legend, Zabe. Others saying it's insane in this business that I'm just a free agent now. But, you know, when I think about it and I say, okay, what if a day part opened up because let's say the host got a job somewhere else? Could I do what I was doing in Wisconsin, but only in D.C.? And I'm not sure that I can, per se. The market is just very different. The size of the D.C. market is massive. And on the one hand, that's a good thing, right? On the other hand, it just vibrates differently than Wisconsin does. The nature of East Coast life is just different. So I know if I did get a show, it'd be a good show. And I'd do some fun stuff. But it wouldn't be what we were doing at the game. And that's, you know, that's a little bit sad. But hey, it's all right. Email, you can always hit me at zabe@yahoo.com. This one from Michael, he writes, Zabe, true longtime listener going back to your one-on-one days. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. Was upset when 97.3 canceled your show and then canceled the whole station. A real shame. Sad, really. I just subscribed to the Zabecast Premium tonight. I hope that temporarily satisfies my Zabe fix. Oh, it will. It'll be a good little fix-up for you. Not a replacement, but good a fix-up. Thank you very much for your support. I have a request, though, he says. I know you said on your recent podcast that returning to the Wisconsin market might be difficult. I hope that's not true, but I understand. You see, Zabe, you're like a member of our family. We've been waking up almost every morning to you in some shape or form for the last several decades. Yeah, 30, as a matter of fact. He goes back to one-on-one sports. Holy shit. Then Bob and Brian, then Fox Sports Radio, then 97.3 FM. The chemistry you had with Butchie was amazing. Yes, I miss Butchie dearly, and I do check in with him once a week at least. Can you get Brian on a few of your podcasts? I can. I need to wait a while, though, if you know what I mean. Just to get your take on Wisconsin sports and even have a nice update on Blake would be wonderful for us listeners. I, too, writes Michael, was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor in July, and I was commiserating remotely with you and Brian as he went through things with Blake. Damn. Just a request from a very long-time listener and a long-time fan. Hope you're doing well. I am, Michael, and I want you to be doing well. I want you to come through this on the other side. Obviously, prayers up for you. And he said, FYI, if you ever make it back to Wisconsin and want to see another Packer game, I have a ticket with your name on it. Well, sir, I will take that up with you. When that day comes. And I'm going to say when, I'm not going to say if. Stay positive that there's still a place there somewhere. Okay, that's enough from me today. I hope I gave you a good shot on a Monday. Tomorrow, we got a power lunch. Andy Pollan and Marty Conway, our sports business professor from Georgetown. We're going to sit down, have a delicious lunch at the Palm, talk about NIL, private equity, playoffs, television, media, sports, franchises, you name it, whatever we get into, I'm sure it'll be a good discussion. So look forward to that podcast. Then we'll check in with Charge before the holiday comes. And then, of course, Scott and Solly as we head towards the long Thanksgiving weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Rate and review, if you don't mind. It takes 2 seconds, but really helps us out on the creator side of things. And tell a friend so we can keep this thing growing and keep this thing going. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.